This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a community church located in Aurora, Illinois. For more information, go to orchardvalleyonline.com.
I love God's absolute young heart, and I don't think over the years we've understood how young it is. Matter of fact, some of you, if you weren't here, maybe you'd be doing something like this.
I'm a flyer. That's why I call myself the Eagle. I attack from above, and they're like, what is he, flying? And I'm like, yeah. Francis likes to stay on the ground because he's strong, and that helps. We would never go to the pros because those guys are actors. You know, I always hear him saying, like, oh, this is my house. Yeah, well, this is my house. I live here. Those guys are trying to put on a show, but we're trying to get hurt.
Too much free time? Go see the ballet.
Whole series of real commercials on the ballet about what could you be doing. And I think they capture a really good heart that, A, not only do we have a fun God, we have a God who absolutely loves every generation. And he knows that we have a tendency to only love our own. And he talks to us today in Psalm 78 about that. So if you have your Bible, I'd love to have you turn there, because we're going to get there in a moment in Psalm 78. It's going to be an important thing for you to read this week, because it's going to really take your heart and have you wrestle some things with God. God's got a young heart. When's the last time you had fun with a student? When is the last time you had fun with a student? With a youth? With a teenager? It was only last weekend when I had an 8-day marathon start of ministry that ends after this message this morning. I'll finally get to go to bed. But we had an all-nighter with our teenagers here, and we took 20 from this church with 620 other teenagers across the region and just had an unbelievable night of no sleep and fun. I did sneak out to the car and get 1 hour during skating because I had to preach that morning at a church and decided I didn't want to repeat the first point 13 times. But in the process, I want you just to enjoy a little of what we've been experiencing with an incredible group of youth leaders and students here at the Orchard. And by the way, we still need more youth leaders because we plan on what God's going to do here is going to really grow this thing as lives are touched. We have students, we have contractors, we have teachers, we have business executives, we have scientists, all as youth leaders on our youth team right now, and an incredible number of students. Take a look at what youth ministries are looking like here at the Orchard. We meet every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 here to connect to each other in our hearts, and then every first Sunday following a first Wednesday, we go out and do something real fun. The next thing's laser tag. But this next Wednesday, on the first Wednesday, after the worship time here, we're inviting all parents, and you can bring your families with, of youth, to a time that we're going to have for about an hour following that to really connect, get to know each other, for the youth leaders to get to know which faces of parents connect to which students. And how, I mean, there's just some things you have no idea you don't know until you start working with students and realize when you work with a student, you work with all of their family because it just infects everything in your life. And I don't know what it is, but half of what I get to do is with students. And if you cut my body in half, my heart's always been on the youth side of my body. I've had the privilege of being a youth pastor for 30 years and equipping youth leaders for the last 22. And there's just something about it. The other half, I have to deal with adults. Okay, you know me in that, all right? I have to deal with women's ministry, men's ministry, elders, children's ministry, which are just as important, but my heart's still on the other side of my body. And watching our students get it here is amazing. Jess and Matt are leading a team with some other youth leaders on another missions trip this summer. We've had 13 students sign up to go and rehab a home and to build community with people in need in Tennessee this time, isn't it? Okay, because they were in Missouri last time, right? So tremendous number of students that loved it last time. Last summer are going again. And it was really fun for me because when Rennie and I sat in this sanctuary the Sunday a year ago, when Jess and Matt shared the challenge that they would love to take a mission trip with your students, it just took Rennie my heart right here. It is just amazing because I saw what God could begin to do with your students and this community. In light of that, some of you think, you students? Yeah, it's a lot like this.
This man right here is my great-grandfather. He's the first cat herder in our family.
Herding cats. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy.
Anybody can herd cattle. Holding together 10,000 half-wild short hairs, well, that's another thing altogether.
Being a cat herder is probably about the toughest thing I think I've ever done.
I got this one this morning, right here. And if you look at his face, it's just ripped to shreds, you know?
You see the movies, you hear the stories, I'm living a dream. Not everyone can do what we do.
I wouldn't do nothing else.
It ain't an easy job, but when you bring a herd into town and you ain't lost a one of them, ain't a feeling like it in the world.
EDS, managing the complexities of the digital economy.
We teach a seminar across the country on shepherding the hearts of students, and we use this video to have people define 27 principles of youth ministry in this cat herding video from the Super Bowl 8 years ago. It's fascinating, the journey. I love phrases in this video like this. Here's my great-grandfather, the first cat herder in my family. My mom has always invested in the next generation, and here I am doing the same thing. And my son is now doing the same thing. There's something about passing on that heritage of belief in ministry that's just so cool. Things like this. Don't let anyone tell you it's easy. That's all right. Life isn't easy. Ministry's not easy. But who else needs it more than students? Parents of grade schoolers, I need to let you in on a little secret. Are you looking forward to when you have a teenager and life will get easy because they can drive themselves? The stress is nowhere like when you let them loose with the car. And the consequences are so much larger. It's funny, Randy and I have actually had less free time since having teenagers and now 20-year-olds than we had when we had grade schoolers. So, enjoy the time you have now. Because it gets bigger. All right? Things like this. Anybody can herd cattle, but 10,000 short hairs? That's another story. Not everyone can invest in teenagers. And junior hires are an animal to themselves. Senior hires are completely different than junior hires. Very, very different. And we are having so much fun with specific small groups every week for junior high girls, junior high guys, senior high girls, senior high guys, really zeroing in on the uniquenesses of their heart because they really have different issues they face. Or this line, I love this. Being a cat herder is about the toughest thing I've ever done. You know, I think about herding cats. Think about what makes cats so difficult. And yet at the same time, what makes them so intriguing? It's their independent spirit. Actually, that's what I love about students. I love the adventure they're on and that adults can come alongside of them in a journey. But you know who they also come alongside? They come alongside each other. And that is so cool to watch as we come and just kind of support that. Or I love this line from it. I got this scratch this morning, but if you look at his face, it's ripped to shreds. You know, there's a lot of times when people, you know, parents, I'm going to let you in on a secret. I've worked with parents and students for 30 years. It is pretty typical that every parent hears from their child at some point, "I hate you. I'd rather have any parent on the planet but you." But most of you don't know every other parent's heard that, okay? You do not know that that is like universal. And you're thinking, "I'm the only bad parent." Welcome to the club. You're a real parent when you get told, "I hate you." Because you're coming to this tension. Little secret in Jesus' life, okay? The only time you see this conflict between Mary and Jesus is when Jesus stays behind when they leave town. And he's in the temple talking, and she comes, and it's like, "How could you do this to us?" Joseph says. And Jesus goes, "What are you talking about? I'm about my father's business right now." And you see this teenage Jesus and his mom, and we know there's no sin there, not understanding each other. Thank you, God. The one example of Jesus and his mother, they don't get each other when they're teenagers. I like that. It gives me a lot of peace. But just start to enjoy the process that you don't have to do it alone. We can do it together. And I love this line. "You hear the stories, but I'm living a dream." I don't know about some of you. You are never too old to be involved in student ministry. One of my favorite youth leaders, Dell, is 83 years old. And what's great, when the music gets too loud, he can turn his hearing aid down, okay? But he has been a mentor and a discipler of students. It is a matter of a calling or a passion, or that's a dream I'd love to be part of. Or I love this one. "Not everyone can do what we do, but I wouldn't do nothing else." Then this. "It ain't an easy job, but when you brought a herd into town and you haven't lost a one." I want to show you this morning where that is God's heart. It's in Psalm 78 that we find it. So that's where we get the woohoo of God for this. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn right to Psalm 78. And first I want to show you God's heart. Starting at verse 1, God's heart. O people, listen to my teaching. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a story. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and know, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children, but we will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We will tell about his power and the mighty miracles he did. Verse 5, for he issued his decree to Jacob, he gave his law to Israel, he commanded his ancestors to teach their children. And I love this. So the next generation may know them, even the children not yet born, that they in turn may teach their children, so each generation can set its hope anew on God, remembering his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. I need to borrow some people here. So, Scott, here are the three of you guys. Come right on up. You didn't know you're volunteering. Come on up for a second, right here. Fortunately, I know all three of you, so come here for a second. I want you guys to picture something God's trying to say about his heart, okay? And tell me your name and what school you go to.
Scott, I go to Caneland High.
What year?
I'm a junior.
I'm Mackenzie, and I go to Hinkley Elementary School.
What grade?
7.
Sarah, and I go to Caneland Middle School.
And what?
6th grade.
6th grade. I want you to understand something about God's heart that we miss that's right here. If I'm this generation of adults and I try to make church all about me, God says, naughty, naughty on you. If you err, err young for the sake of what's coming. And so it says, make sure you don't miss Scott. Make sure you don't miss giving him what God's given you. Let him understand the stories are real about God, not little flat people on a flannel graph, okay? Oh, Jesus is flat. Look at that. He sticks to, you know, fabric. No, he's real. But here's what it says. Scott's job is to reach out to other Scots. And, but guess what, Scott? Your job is also to reach down to the next generation that isn't even born yet. And then your job is to reach out to others. And then your job is to reach out to another generation not born yet. And your job is to reach out to, you get it? That's what God's saying here. You understand? If we work with Scott today in the youth ministry here in this church, that we're talking about 40, 50 years from now of impact, not about now. Thank you, guys. I loved embarrassing you. Thank you. Yeah, give them a hand. I mean, they were helpful. You see, I want us to paint a picture for a minute of what happens in church. We have a tendency to really make the church experience be about us. When I leave today, I got to figure out, was this good for me? And God basically in Psalm 78 says, I'd like to introduce you to my heart. In my heart, it's not just about you. Matter of fact, it's not just about me. Remember I said love God and love people? I want to now give you some more specifics in the love people, not just people just like you. God has such a diverse heart, diverse in every way. And it includes style and age. Can you imagine if you invested in a student who invested in their children, who invested in their children, the kind of legacy when you get to heaven you'll get to share when you meet all these people? I'm going to let you in on a secret up front. You don't know it yet, but every one of you is a youth leader. You don't know it yet. I've never entered a church and not had that mental picture. And all you have to do to fulfill that, you're scared to death, aren't you? That all-nighter, you could never do it. Yes, you could. Okay, you could survive too. No, it's investing your life in one student, one teenager in this church or in this community who's not in your family. Why do some of us get to opt out of Psalm 78 and others have to opt in? I don't think God's saying, I want some of you to have a young heart like mine. I want all of you. So yeah, youth ministry is not about the programs. And any church I've ever been in, half the students are not plugged into the program. Sometimes it's because they're so busy. Sometimes it's because they're so talented. We had one youth ministry, we had a 24-piece youth orchestra. And since I'm into rock, that is really the grace of God, okay? We had a 24-piece youth orchestra, but we had 6 students in the Chicago Youth Symphony. When I was the youth pastor at First Baptist Church at Elmhurst, there wasn't a single high school in Chicago that had 2 students in the Chicago Youth Symphony. Our youth group had six. They're like professional athletes training for the future. They don't get free time. They can't take off weekends. I mean, they're like, this is their life. So we learned ways to take ministry to them, to give them people matched up with them. And I just want you to know that as we explore and open up Psalm 78, in reality, God's just basically asking you to lift up your eyes and find one student. I can't stand cats. Okay, ask God to help you love cats. I didn't say you have to like cats, but you do have to love cats. I'm not saying you have to like what you don't understand about teenagers, but you do have to love teenagers. Isn't that kind of nice? That's how I've survived 30 years as a youth pastor. I don't have to like everybody who shows up, but I have to love them. And if you love someone long enough, guess what happens to the like? You start to like them too. There are people that just drive you nuts. And for some of you, that's teenagers. Matter of fact, most times when I have a problem with someone else, it's really my problem. I'm just not willing to admit it because I'm not willing to take the journey. Well, in God's heart, the problem is he's real clear. I literally want you to make, God says, I want you to make me come alive. What's it take to make God come alive to next generation? I just want you to think real honestly for a second. What's it take for you to make God come alive to someone else? It's not rocket science. He's got to be real to you. But when he's a plastic Jesus on the dashboard of your life, you know, that's as far as it goes, you know. He's kind of a good luck charm, or I go to church because, you know, maybe God will smile on me. He's not real. He's not who he says he is. He's not the powerful God of the Bible. He's just a Sunday school God. How in the world will we ever pass him on in a way that will make a difference so that Scott, to Mackenzie, on, God can do what he does? Huh? How? Well, here's my heart. It's quite a challenge. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. I just want to show you a little bit about the middle of Psalm 78, because it starts with, I want every generation in the future to find me, because I want you to start reaching this generation now. And then he says, oh, by the way, in case you don't understand, here's what adult hearts tend to be like. I don't say it's always this way, but let's face it. When we're adults, we tend to change a whole lot less than when we're students. I remember a youth leader when I was in eighth grade. He was a parent of one of our students, and he was our junior high youth leader, Bill Johnson. And he took a big 9-volt camping battery, and he said, adults are like this. And he dropped it on the floor, and he broke the church. I loved it. The little asphalt 9-inch tiles cracked. I felt so bad for him. He broke the church. I never forgot that as a seventh grader. I thought it was so cool. He broke the church saying, adults are like this. They break things. No, they don't reshape easy. Then he took a pitcher of water in all different shaped cups, and he poured that water from cup to cup to cup, and it took whatever shape. And he said, God's asking you to have a heart that's always able to be shaped as he wants it. That never says, I'm sorry, I'm done learning. I'm done changing. I'm done letting some new container, some new wine for new wineskins. Remember that in the Bible? You know what the verse says? There needs to be new wine for new wineskins, lest they both be ruined. Both the wine and the wineskin, if we're unwilling to let air towards sometimes the young. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean I want to get rid of the old. I love classic. I love the hymns. I love all of it. But if we want to touch this culture, we have to figure out how to touch them without losing our old. And that's a whole different story. I'm not against anything. I'm just for youth. You figured the difference? Boy, whenever you like something, somebody else thinks you hate them. But when you love youth, I'm just in line with God's heart in Psalm 78. Here's the kind of thing he says adults tend to do. Starting after verse 8, it says in verse 11, they simply forgot what God had done, the wonderful miracles he had shown them. They simply forgot. That hurts. Or keep going. Verse 17, yet they kept on with their sin, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. Verse 18, they willfully tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods they craved. He's talking about when the people of Israel were in the wilderness and God's leading them. He's giving them water, but they're complaining he's not giving them food. He gives them food, they ask, he's not giving them meat. He complains, so God gives them meat. They willfully tested God. Do you know what happens over time? Have you read the Old Testament? A lot of people started well, finished poorly. We have stories of 8-year-old kings, 16-year-old kings. We have Jonathan, Saul's son, at 15 years old, leading the overturning of the enemy when his father was all wrapped up in his own self-image. 30-year-old father, 14-year-old son. It's the 14-year-old who got it. What happens? We start young, but over time, let's just be honest and do a heart check for all of us. We do not know how we have stopped believing that God can do mighty things, that God is who He is, that God wants to reach a generation. We basically pull back and are happy when one or two people are reached, when our life is kind of okay with God. And He's like, don't, no, please, let's get rid of the 9-volt batteries and get back to the water pitcher. Please. God's saying, I want that for you. Verse 22, for they did not believe God or trust Him to care for them. But then God's response, they got to eat the food of angels. God gave them all they could hold. You see, when we don't believe God's powerful, it's not that God isn't. It's not that He isn't still good to us. Isn't that kind of silly? We can actually have a willful spirit against God and He can still be good to us. Last time I checked, it's while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we had our act together. God doesn't give us what we deserve or else we'd all be wiped out. But the funny thing, He says, how in the world are you going to pass me to the next generation if you live that way? Honestly, as I've studied this, I figured out here's what God will do. He will actually skip a generation to reach a generation if He has to. God actually won't, if we stop investing in Scott's generation, God is going to find a way to invest in Scott without us. And we're going to miss the blessing. Because God doesn't let God's ways go. But why would we want to miss it? He says in verse 35, then they finally remembered that God was their rock and their redeemer. And they followed Him, but then only with their words. And they lied to Him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal. They did not keep His covenant. They basically came to work, came to worship, sang the songs, but didn't mean any of it. They talked about God. They prayed at their mealtimes, but in the end of the day, they didn't really believe what they said. God's basically saying in Psalm 78, and He goes, it's pretty brutal and it's pretty long. He says, hey, I got a young heart. Make sure we reach this generation for the sake of two beyond it. By the way, you guys have a tendency to get 9-fold batteries. Rigid hearts that don't really believe who I am, who I say I am. Please, please see me for who I am. Verse 38, yet He was merciful and forgave their sins, and He didn't destroy them all. Many a time He held back His anger and did not unleash His fury. For He remembered they were merely mortal, gone in a moment like a breath of the wind, never to return. Aren't you glad God's that way with us, adults? Aren't you glad He's that way? I am. You know why He builds things in that we're supposed to do often? Like every time, you know, when you gather, do this in remembrance of me. Why God made things so visual. When they crossed the sea, they put a pile of 12 rocks, one for each tribe. You know why God did that? So we have to trip over Him all the time. We have Bibles in every room in our house, including the bathroom. So we'll have whole groups of students over, and Rennie will say break up into small groups, and invariably the junior high boys want to meet in the bathroom because there's a Bible in there. But the reason isn't because those are symbols or plastic Jesuses to us. It's the fact that it's like the reason I carry a palm Bible, because I always have four versions of the Bibles with me. I do my studying, and I love when an appointment's late. Okay, I love to be reminded and trip over God so that I don't end up with a heart distant from Him. Sorry, here's what it looks like for us.
Okay, this is take 63.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow.
He's killing me.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap for today. Thank you.
Introducing Meow Mix Hairball Control Formula. With great taste and natural ingredients, effectively controlling hairballs is as easy as feeding your cat.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow Mix. Tastes so good, cats ask for it by name.
You know, when we're herding cats, one of the problems is you get hairballs. When you get hairballs, you can't sing the notes on tune. And so God gives us a hairball control formula, and that's Psalm 78. It says, in case you've forgotten about this generation or thought it was someone else's responsibility, check your heart. Is it so real, your relationship with me, you've got something to pass on? One of the best parts of being involved in youth ministry is it always tests your heart. I look so forward to every Wednesday night. It's a highlight for me to be with our students here. The leaders that are here, they're amazing. But one of the things we've done for each other is hold each other accountable. We've had a cough out sin. We've had a cough out bad attitudes. We've had a cough out this thing being about me, because the hair gets caught in there. But here's what I love that God does. There's not just God's heart. There's not just my heart. With God and me, there's our heart. God gives you a heart for every generation. Matter of fact, his heart so fills yours, he doesn't leave you the same. And he finds in Israel, at the end of all this time of rebellion, this amazing insight. He finally, after all of the stories, he goes, by the way, I found somebody with a young heart like mine, someone that let me have a young heart, and his name was David. Matter of fact, I chose him. I chose him as a servant. I chose him from the sheep pens. He was working with the little ewes and the lambs, the children and the youth of the sheep. He knew if there was going to be a flock later, he needed to care for the little ones and the young ones, or there would be no flock tomorrow. I would say a church without a youth ministry is just an open grave waiting for the lid and the dirt to come on. Because there's no future. There's no next. There's no heritage. I mean, whoa. And then he says, he brought him to shepherd his people. You guys, God does this for all of us. He brings us along in that. And here's the second part. I love this. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. Did you catch that? God chose him, and that David obeyed. It's possible for God to choose someone who then says, I don't want to do it. Seldom resist the urge to do what God prompts you to do. And you know the difference. If it doesn't contradict Scripture and God puts a thought in your head, I've always said this, obey it. David did, and two things needed to happen. He knew his heart needed to be right. He had to have the right motives, the right passion, the right encouragement. But he also needed to learn skills. One of the real cool things we're getting to do here in this ministry is equip people to have a relationship with students, not just in the youth group, but across the whole youth ministry. If you need help investing in a student and you don't know what to say or what to do, we want to help you do that, because we want both your heart and your hands to come in line so that you can say this like we have to say. Basically, the question, I guess, that God was setting us up for, will you believe me on this, that he chose you from the sheep pens? Not just David, that he took you from whatever your job is. And he, by the way, do you understand how important it is that people with all diverse careers, perspectives, at-home moms, people with technical skills, people with, you know, math skills and, you know, accounting, how important it is to have diverse people along the lines of each generation? Because God didn't call us all to be in the church, did he? Therefore, you have no idea how what you have can be used to help a generation. You have no idea. But he's brought you, and I guess the question is, will you? Will you say, that's me? So, a couple challenges. Number one, would you become a youth leader? Not in the youth group, although we need more. Talk to me about that. Never have enough. Right, Alex? Two to hold, one to hit, right? We've got to have three adults for every student, right? You know, Alex always saying, we have as many youth leaders as students. Yes, and we're not there yet. Because youth ministries tend to grow based on the number of leaders there to shepherd. But here's what your challenge is, to take on a student who's not in your family, who may actually be someone who works with you. Invite them here. Have them bring a friend here. Bring them to church with you. Invest in them, because it's going to be all of us. Bring them to Easter. But secondly, if you're a family with youth, come out this Wednesday, the first Wednesday, and stay afterwards for a really fun time.